from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Michigan Talk Network and over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast and check out our friends at Not Just Guns, our sponsors. excuse me, Cedar Street 127 in Mason. Boy, that's professional radio right there. And they've got all kinds of great deals, and make sure you check them out on Wednesdays for their auction nights. United Deer Farmers of Michigan, helping us come to you. And, of course, Conquest Sense. Right there in Davison, Michigan, makers of great stuff. Sense in a stick, like VS1 and Evercalm, along amidst a myriad, I love that word, of other things, other great products, all can be seen through the link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And, I'm looking at the week ahead as we are starting to cool down just temporarily here in the month of August. We're going to start cooling down a little bit, which would be nice. I think the salmon activity is doing really well. Looking at the charters, our friends at Best Chance Charters getting some big kings out of the Saugatuck area and all over the coast there of Lake Michigan. Some big 30 pounders coming out of the lake and looking really good. Looking forward to cooler temps and easier times. Maybe the subtle relaxation of bow season coming up October 1st, which is just a couple of short months away. But deer right now, still, a lot of bucks in the field, a lot of does in the field, a lot of fawns running around. And the antler growth is what I want to know about first, because that's something that's always on people's minds. How are the antlers looking this year? And, of course, the man I always defer to is the deer professor, Doug Roberts with Conquest Sense. How are you, brother?
I am doing really good, Duran. No problems at all. Having a good summer.
Good. You know, and I tell you, Doug, I've had more close encounters with deer this year than I've had. I mean, in the daytime, than I have had in a very long time. We've been seeing a lot of activity out there, a lot of does with fawns, which is great, and a lot of been seeing a lot of bucks in the velvet. And, you know, people always want to know, you know, antler growth. How is the weather affecting it? We've had a very wet summer, in short periods, not long periods of rain, you know, a lot of rain, but a lot of rain in a short period, and heat, which we know is good for antler growth.
Well, we've actually had just perfect combinations of everything. You know, we started out with a mild drought, and you and I talked about that. We were a little worried because it's moisture in the plants that give them digestible intake. But, man, when the rain started coming, crops started growing. Everything this summer has been tremendous. I would say it's a perfect world right now for whitetails, other than insects. We have a record right now of mosquitoes. I mean, I don't know if most people know, but they've got generations that all hatched at one time that normally never happens. Because of the warm temperatures and the moisture. But the plants, the crops have grown extremely well. So antler growth has been tremendous. And we're seeing so many of these deer out in the open during the day because they're literally trying to get out into the open fields where the wind and the breeze is blowing to keep the bugs off them because there's such an infestation inside the woods and stuff. So a lot of those deer, especially does, have moved their fawns out into these open fields to get that wind current to try to lessen the severity of the insects is a big thing.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of fawns out in the open along with a few does this year. You know, just the other day driving out to my dad's place out in Langsburg, there's, you know, one doe propeller head and the two little propeller heads behind her just kind of looking through the beans, you know. And then as I was going to his house, I said, you know, I got to be careful because just as I thought that, I had a doe literally dart right in front of my vehicle. And if I took a hair off her back end, I wouldn't be surprised because that's how close we were. And that was the second time. Yeah. I had a buck do the same thing. but he was just two long sweeping, you know, single tines. But there's been some great antler growth as well.
Yeah, it's the antler growth has been tremendous because the plants have grown very well, the crops are doing very well, and the moisture content in all of the plants that they're eating is at the highest level. And so the digestibility intake of the nutrients are taken in. They're getting everything that they can. They're maximizing their ability. So from a hunting standpoint this fall, you're going to see a tremendous amount of good antlers. The hunters should be just shooting. It wouldn't surprise me that we actually have some that would be close to a state record this year.
Man, that's encouraging. And for those of you, those of us, rather, in general, because it's Michigan, that aren't using supplements, you can't see air quotes, but we've been pretty good because of this. I mean, the things like Lucky Buck and the other nutritional minerals that, you know, normally we could put out that they still sell are just an added benefit to this.
They are. I mean, again, there's always deficiencies. You know, Michigan is known for selenium deficiency, which is tremendously needed for the health of deer. But they get it through plants and other ways in minimal portions. So Lucky Buck and all those other little mineral supplements that have been taken away from us definitely hurt because we can't fill in those few gaps. But a lot of the gaps have been filled in by Mother Nature this summer, and it's been a blessing to the deer herd.
Doug Roberts, our guest from Conquest Sense here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Doug, those minerals, even though we are unable to legally replenish them, still remain in the soil because I have a doe bringing fawns back, coming back to that same area in my backyard where years previous, you know, we would put Lucky Buck out. And they, still, it soaks right into not only the ground, but, the stump and everything else around it.
Well, exactly. And I've talked to so many hunters that, you know, for years and years have put their minerals blocks and their supplements in the same place, like you said, on the same stump or on the same block of wood. Well, that absorbs the salt and all those minerals into it. And so even though we can't legally use it, those places are still there and are usable, and they have usable product within them. So, the old sites still may be a very effective place to hunt because the deer are still looking for those things. It never ends. I mean, we always did it on a stump, and those stumps would get eaten down to nothing by the deer over many, many years because of the salt content and the minerals that are in those products. So very good place, and I'm glad those are out there because it is helping the deer get some of the extra stuff they need.
Doug, I'm thinking that this doe has been, you know, around me, around my house in that place for a while, so she kind of knows by habit where that is. But how are these other deer? I mean, is it a scent thing? Is it a random, you know, how are they finding them?
They actually can smell it. A deer's nose and ability to sense water sources, to sense salt sources, and salt really is the big one. Salt allows their body to withhold the moisture content. So if they don't get a lot of water, they may only get a drink once a day, but it's enough for them because that salt actually allows their body to absorb and hold that water in their system. They really pick on it by smell. It's kind of a neat way of how they do that stuff.
It is. And it's, you know, again, for me as a as just a homeowner to see deer in the backyard, it's always nice. And I want to talk about their adaptability coming up in the next segment because, I'll explain the whole thing then. Doug Roberts is our guest. Conquest Sense, because I'll just run up against the break too hard. But Doug Roberts is our guest. The Deer Professor, you're listening to us on Wild Michigan.
Nick 6 months with Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here, along with my good friend Doug Roberts, the deer professor from Conquest Sense, talking a little bit in the first segment about antler growth and how this year has been a good year for antler growth here in Michigan. As we talked to Bro last week, Minnesota not exactly enjoying what we are here. Things very dry and rough out there. And Doug, we had yet another encounter last night. My wife and I went out, had a deer run through our area. She's like, I've never seen him come through the neighborhood like this in more of an urban setting. I said, you really don't understand how adaptable these animals are. I mean, you can take away pretty much their habitat, and they're not going anywhere.
Oh, Durant, it doesn't take a big area of bushes or trees or tall grass to create a home for white-tailed deer within us. Within our areas of living, you know, what most people don't realize is that a deer, for the most part, is very patternable. But let's flip that around. They pattern us much more than we think of patterning them. To when we leave for work, when we come home, when we mow our lawns, when we're in the backyard, when the kids are playing on the swing set, when they're in the treehouse, all of those things we do very consistently. And it's also based on weather. You know, nice weather, we're out. Bad weather, we're in. They learn all those things, and they learn how to live around us and within us from them learning our patterns. And therefore, we create consistent patterns for them as well. But it's kind of neat how they can live so close. Duran, we had it. I mean, we're raising hundreds of deer, and we, you know, I've done it for 30 years, and yet we see a doe give birth to two fawns, a wild doe give birth to two fawns outside the fence. That has been Karen's and my highlight for the entire summer, is to watch her and her two fawns grow up and become adaptable to us. I literally, with the dog last night, drove within probably 30 feet of the mom and both fawns in the food plot and drove right on past them, and they never even thought twice of leaving. That's patterning, that's training, that's adapting, and they really adapted to us. We didn't adapt to them. And so it's very, very doable. So if a hunter's listening to this, a hunter can literally train and get them to adapt to consistencies and actually create a harvest situation on some of these bucks that they think are hard to train and adapt and get a shot on. So it's fun stuff.
You know, it's really funny that you bring that up, because I was talking with my daughter, and she said that she and her boyfriend were out on a walk, and that she came within like 8 feet of a doe and two fawns. Now, mind you, it's a semi-urban setting that they're in, and people walk in this area a lot. I said, well, you know, maybe next time, you know, take a couple of carrots and throw them at her. You know, just throw them towards her, see what happens. I mean, because that way it'll become consistent, and maybe, you know, the encounters might be a little more often, because we had I had a friend that, you know, he would go out, check tree stands or whatever, check cameras, but would like leave a little pocket full of something behind. Yep. You know, so when he was out there, so it's kind of like, you know, getting bears ready for season. You go out there, you leave the bait, you thump the bucket, you take away on the quad, they get used to that pattern. You know, and I'm not saying bait the deer. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they will get used to a pattern, like you said.
Well, absolutely. And it's, deer are not, when deer are born, here's what's interesting. Fawns are not afraid of us as people or machinery or any of that. They have no fear of it. It's a learned process that their parents teach them, just like we teach our own children. We teach our own kids that a stovetop is a dangerous thing. It's hot. A hot coffee, a cup of coffee, things like that. Well, the deer do the same thing. They're not born with these fearful instincts. And so if they've never been scared or threatened by people in certain areas, they have no fear. they haven't had a reason to learn. And if their mom is comfortable around us at 8 feet away, the fawns will be comfortable. And that's just nature's way of adapting to what we do to them. Now, if we chase them or scare them or have a dog run after them, they'll remember that, and that becomes a fear that's built in. So when they see or smell a dog, oh, that's not a good thing. So it's kind of neat how, again, we can train them, but yet they're adapting to us because we're so consistent with our watches and what we have to do. So it's a neat back and forth game that you play, but hunters can use it to their advantage. Deer sure do.
Absolutely. Doug Roberts is our guest here, and I liken back to Tom Nelson, who has always told us, you know, one way into the tree stand, different way out. Different way in, different way out. You know, don't become that pattern.
Yep.
Doug Roberts.
Or become the pattern that they trust.
Right, right. Absolutely. Man, I tell you, every conversation with you is something completely different. And it just blows my mind every time, dude. I appreciate that a great deal. Doug Roberts with Conquest Sense. Having another busy year, COVID, you know, has not slowed you guys down to the point where a lot of other people are. I mean, I wish you were like a fast food place, Doug, because I'd get service.
Well, it's I'll tell you what, we have been so blessed that, you know, in hard times, let's face it, more people are hunting right now. They really want to fill their freezers with venison this fall. Just in case things go south again and you can't get certain things and food prices go up. And therefore, our products help them become more successful to fill that freezer. And so our sales have continued to go up, and we're very happy about that. And we just continue to hope and pray that our products do help the hunters in the field become more successful.
Well, you know, I mean, you guys have come up with some great things beginning with the sense in the stick with VS1 and Evercalm. You've taken it to vaping, not completely bad, because you do it with scent fire, okay? Vaping for us, bad. Vaping for deer, well, bad for them, but in a very good way for us.
It I'll tell you, the scent fire unit has just come on like a wildfire this past year. People really have finally realized that it strengthens that smell that goes out into the current air currents, and it carries further. The deer are more attracted to it because it is a warm scent, and you have control of the scent product because it works by remote. So it just has all of the right tools to make it a very effective scent dispenser for hunters to use, and they can use it at any time, anywhere. So it's been a lot of fun to hear the positive comments back from hunters using that scent fire unit the last couple of years.
No, it truly is amazing. And when you see people vape, you see that cloud kind of go up and it disperses and it carries off into the air. That's exactly what the scent fire unit is doing. And believe me, this is something you're going to put in your arsenal. Again, vaping good, kind of, for us and deer, not so much. Doug Roberts, Conquest Sense, thanks so much, brother. Always good to hear you laugh. Appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan.
Always good to be with you, Duran. Thank you.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Holler, old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar, keeping that chain pull tight, waiting on Saturday.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing, and teaching is what we like to do. I let the experts teach. I just ask the questions. Find us online, wildmichiganradio.com. There'll be direct links to our sponsors, like United Deer Farmers of Michigan right there. Happy to have them on board, and also Not Just Guns. Make sure you check them out. Big doings going on this weekend. They've remodeled, they've expanded, and you can find it all out online on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, which takes you to notjustguns.com. But right now we're going to talk to my good friend Ed Shaw. He is based out of the Cadillac area, Mitchell State Park, and the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. I got all the big words out. Ed, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely, man, because you know what? When we first started talking to you way back when, Outdoor Skills Academy had just started. We had taken the bear hunting class. Since then, you've had all kinds of ice fishing schools, steelhead, so many different types of classes at these Outdoor Skills Academies. And, dude, now this has blown up so big that, I mean, frankly, I'm not saying I didn't see it coming because of how well things were run, but to have expanded this fast, I'm really surprised and happy for you guys up there.
I'm like a duck on a pond, right? I can't offer enough classes, and every time we add a new one, it's filling right away. And I couldn't be more thankful to the public. You know, it shows that people want to get outdoors and learn, and they want to learn from the experts, you know? So it's been a great roller coaster, I can tell you that.
You know, having grown up in Lansing, but my parents both coming from rural backgrounds, my grandparents lived out in rural Parma area of Michigan, we learned a lot about the outdoors, what we could eat, what we couldn't eat. And you guys have a wild edibles class that really, you know, there's so much out there that you can forage and eat and do safely, but there's also just as much bad stuff out there that you can eat and really not feel good. So this wild edibles class seems to me like it's going to be taken off like really big.
It is. And it I hate to say it, but I'm pretty sure we're taking a waiting list right now for that class. Jill and Aaron are wild mushroom. And they do wild mushrooms and they also cater. So they use the mushrooms in their catering, but they also teach my class on how to identify edible mushrooms. They go over roughly 20 to 25 different mushrooms that you can eat in Michigan. And then I also have a wild expert, edibles expert from Farmington Hills coming up, Nick DeCreasy. He teaches those classes down at their wonderful new Hawk building, which is ran by a very good friend of mine, Brian. So it's I find these folks out there within our state, and I bring them in to teach the classes. So I'd love to say I'm teaching that class like I do the Bear Clinic, but I'm not that guy, right? So that's the best part about the Outdoor Skills Academy is I'm finding the experts, putting it together, and offering it at an affordable price, because we're not allowed to make a profit off of this. That's the best part. We make no money.
You know, and that's fantastic, too, because, I mean, look, you can take a plant like a water hemlock and take a elderberry bush. Man, they look a lot alike. The fruit looks a lot alike, but one of them is going to make you very, very sick. And that's the cool thing about learning these wild edibles, to be able to identify what you can eat. I mean, look, you're probably trampling on some chanterelles or shaggy manes throughout the course of the year, and you don't know how good and edible those things are.
If you talk to Jill and Aaron, the best time to be out in the woods foraging for mushrooms is in the fall.
Absolutely.
So when are all we out there, all of us hunters? How many have we walked over a mushroom that's probably worth a couple $100 that we could have just paid for our fuel for the whole hunting trip, you know, by selling it to someone or using it in our venison recipes that we have? And they go through that. That's the best part about them being a caterer is they prepare samples. And they actually, and they give recipes on what to use it and how to use those different plants and mushrooms you can find out in Michigan.
Yeah, there's so much out there. Speaking with Ed Shaw from the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center at Mitchell State Park up in Cadillac. We are so blessed to have so much flora, if you will, out there because, I mean, look, we have not survived by meat alone in this state. You know, there's so much out there, but when we've gotten away from the natural things, we've lost the ability to do that, but that's where these classes come in handy. And you know what? The internet's a cool thing, but having hands-on experience with somebody with what they do, that's awesome.
Yeah, I always tell everybody, do you really trust yourself to identify something from a picture that could potentially kill you? And that's the nice part about it. And even now when I'm out in the woods, I'm looking for chaga, I'm looking for chanterelles, I'm looking for lobster mushrooms, all these things that I learned from Jill and Aaron, which I never knew 2-3 years ago. You know, I didn't know much about chaga and the benefits and the antioxidants. There's nothing higher in antioxidants than chaga tea. And you can find it in Michigan just about everywhere.
That's amazing.
And it's pretty cool to learn those skills. It really is. And I'm one, I can't afford to buy that kind of stuff. You know, all the kids I got. And, you know, I'm a state servant. So, you know, it's one of those things that when we find it, we pick it. And we use it ourselves.
All the kids you have, yes. And congratulations on Miss Hazel. We have to give her official radio welcome to the world, Miss Hazel Shaw. That's absolutely awesome. And I'm glad that you are able to join us. Because you're not really working. You're just talking about what you do at work, which is fantastic. But the Outdoor Skills Academy, again, at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center in Cadillac. I know you have some remote locations as well. But another one I want to talk to you about is the survival skills class, because that seems to be a big thing with TV shows with, like, Alone. I hate to even bring this one up, Naked and Afraid. But, I mean, there are people out there that survival is what they do and what they learn and teach about.
And, again, I'm bringing in some experts for that particular class, and there's some overlaps with the wild edibles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for foraging is big. There's a whole social media pages on just foraging in Michigan, which is a great resource. I follow it, and there's questions. You can ask questions, and people will help you. But really, the biggest thing is to do, if you're in the outdoors and there's a lot of interest, what do you do when you get lost? And we're going to go through a lot of those wild edibles, you know, how to forage, what to look for. It'll be a really fun class. And Nick DeCreasy is going to come up for that. Jill and Aaron, we're going to have an array of guest speakers that are experts in those particular fields. And that's the fun part about my job, is not only the students get to learn, but I'm learning too.
No, it is, man. That, like I said, and it's the same way with this job. We've been able to bring in the experts and people. This is what they do. Ask the questions and then share that all with everybody that, you know, cares to listen. And very grateful are we for that whole, you know, opportunity to do it. Ed Shaw is our guest here. Interpreter with the Michigan DNR at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center in Cadillac, Lake Mitchell. How's the fishing been on Lake Mitchell? I mean, we've had some rain lately, but doing okay up there?
It's been a great year. The guys have been really well on walleye. It seems to be a really good year class this year. They're getting quite a few keepers, and the bass fishing is always phenomenal on Lake Michigan and Cadillac. These are two great bass fishing lakes. There's a lot of tournaments that happen on these lakes, but if you catch them in the evening or early in the morning, especially when they're off, not on the weekends, but through the week, if you can get up here, they are very good fishing. And there's no better place to stay than Mitchell State Park, because you can launch your boat, and then we have the canal, and you dock it right on the canal. It's first come, first serve. You know, everyone thinks it's because if you have a camping site on the canal, you get that spot. That's not true. If you're camping, you can use that canal for docking your boat and head out on the water. So
All right. It's
kind of a unique park in that way.
Ed Shaw, our guest, we're going to talk more with you in a couple of minutes. Outdoor Skills Academy up in Cadillac, Lake Mitchell with Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Conquest Scents of Davidson, Michigan. Awesome scents of the stick, plus the so many other products. Check them out online. There's a link on our website to them at wildmichiganradio.com. Speaking with Ed Shaw right now, interpreter for the Michigan DNR. He is technically off right now, but still sharing some information with us for when he comes back in August up there. But Ed, here's one that really kind of caught my attention, And I want to know a little bit more about this one. It's the class on hunting whitetails naturally. That's an interesting title.
Yeah, it's not like Naked of Afraid, where we go out all natural, right? No, it's really geared towards back when the bait ban first came about, and to help people learn how to hunt without baiting, how to trail hunt. I'm a pretty successful whitetail hunter. I've whitetailed hunted with a bow my entire life. My family, when rifle season came about, we broke camp and went home.
Mm-hmm.
We would be in the woods the entire month of October bow hunting, and we did a lot of trail hunting. And that's where my expertise comes in, and I pass along that knowledge, what my dad and my grandpa have taught me. And really, you get to learn all the mistakes I made over the years. You know, all those misses, all those, man, I should have sat here instead of here, and all that fun stuff that I learned the hard way, we get to pass on. And me and John Zakrysik and several others teach that particular class. I do touch a little bit on the food plot side of things. Especially in August, there's not much you can plant at that point other than rye and maybe some oats. So we do touch a little bit on that. If you got some private land, to give you a little bit of an edge, but really it's geared towards trail hunting, and how to pick out a good spot and be successful.
You know, a lot of that has gotten lost. You know, look, I'm going to throw it out there. When I was growing up as a kid, my dad said it was sit here, the deer will go by, you know. Well, that didn't really prove successful for me for a very long time. I start this show, I pick up a bow, I listen to Tom Nelson, bam, first season with a bow in my hand, my life changes. Since then, it's been a lot of success along the way. I'm not saying great success, I'm not saying trophy deer, I'm saying meat in the freezer, and that's what I'm happy with. You know, and any success is better than none at all.
Same here. We managed to take quite a few, several deer last year, just trail hunting, all on public land at that. Now, granted, you know, to your listeners, I do have a benefit of living in the great northern Michigan, and it's easier to do some of that stuff when you live up north or in areas. But, you know, we go through maps on how to pick out those areas before you ever get up here. That way you can do your homework before you ever leave. Southern, mid-Michigan, wherever you're at, you get up here, you know right where to check out and what to look for. And trying to target those areas, people may not find because it's a small pocket off the beaten path, and maybe it's not in those big areas around camping areas or big stretches of federal land or state land that get hammered really hard.
You know, Ed Shaw is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Ed, that really seems to be a theme for today. Is educating yourself. We just had this conversation with Lance Valentine. So many guys want to go, hey, I'm going fishing tomorrow. Where are the fish at? You know, well, do a little research. Put a little time and effort into what you're doing.
You know, and I follow a lot of the Steelheaders pages, Michigan Steelhead, Tippy Dam, all those social media pages that are out there. And, you know, a lot of guys are pretty rude, but don't be discouraged by those guys, you know, that say, you know, if you get on there and say, hey, how's the fish biting? Or, you know, famous one, right, is where's the fish? They're in the water. You know, don't pay attention to those guys that are trying to be negative, and don't be one of those guys, and really help people out, because the more we grow the sport, the more money we have for natural resources, the more that we can put into those natural resources, the better it'll be. And so that's where I'm at in my career, my life, is to pass on that knowledge and to help people. And when I see those kind of comments, I think, and I try to make a positive comment and help those people. But also the Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center, if you're up in the Cadillac area, stop in. That's what my guys do. And, you know, you need to know how to rig up for steelhead. You need to know, you know, some ins and outs on bow hunting. You know, we can bring you right out in the front yard and kind of give you a rundown, a real quick rundown of those types of how to do things. If you want to know how to rig up to troll for walleyes in Mitchell or Cadillac or even out on the bay, stop in. We will help you. That's what we're there for.
You know, that's pretty awesome, too, that you know, a lot of times the DNR in general gets a bad rap. Well, you know, there's a lot more to the Michigan DNR, and I'm going to say this, than the Policy Commission, okay, than the NRC and those, you know, making the rules. You got Leo's out. You got the law enforcement officers out there. You got people like yourself, interpreters and whatnot, that want to help people. And I will forever be grateful to the Michigan DNR up in the Gaylord area when I drew my elk tag. Dude, I knew nothing about what I was doing. I was I borrowed a buddy's rifle. I stayed in cheap motels. I went to the Michigan DNR so I could find landowners, because they had landowners that were willing to put you on their land where elk were. I couldn't afford a guide. I damn near just said, you know what? I'm going to donate my tag because I don't know what I'm doing or anything else. It was probably the most stressful thing in my life that I had ever done, hunting or fishing, but yet turned out to be one of the most successful things I've ever done as well. Would I go through it again? I don't have to, because I already learned.
You know, and keep in mind that not all the interpreters are going to know hunting and fishing stuff, but like Katie up at the Parkies, you find yourself up in the Gogebic area, especially in the wintertime, trying to fish for those teeter pigs. Katie's a great resource, or go out walleye fishing. You know, she really, I mean, she is a gung-ho fisherman up there, but she lives there. She knows it. She knows the system. And so, and that may not be the case at all of our visitor centers, but I encourage you guys to stop in. We pride ourselves on customer service, and that's what we do. We educate. That's our forte. That's what we're there for, and that's what we're paid to do.
No, it's awesome. I mean, look, everybody, every business, every, you know, whatever it is you do, there's going to be people that you're not going to like, plain and simple. But when it comes to this, when it comes to you guys at the Carl T. Johnson up there in Cadillac, that I know you are there to help people and you enjoy doing it. And you also bring in some of the best people in the state to help do that as well.
Yeah, and I vet them before they come in, right? I sit down and have conversations with these people to make sure they really know what they're talking about. And so folks like Steve Sharp does my turkey hunting place. Oh, yeah. I love turkey hunting, and I got a turkey this year, so I was pretty happy, but I'm not Steve Sharp. You know, I'm not the National Wild Turkey Federation turkey guy, the guy that educates the entire state. You know, he goes all over the U.S. So those are the types of guys, the Steve Sharps in the world, that I try to find. We got Denny Grishik coming in to help with the bear clinic this year. I don't know anybody that hunts bears more than Denny in the state of Michigan, and he lives right there in Lansing by you.
Now that's crazy.
So,
because I've never even met him before, and that's, but again, Lansing is one of those places that's really weird. We've got a couple of world champion ice anglers right here in Lansing, you know, with Mike Bodecker, you know, and Norman Smith, who's a world class angler that teaches up at your ice fishing clinics up there. I mean, Lansing is full of Myron Gilbert, another world-class ice angler, all guys from Lansing, and you would never know it.
Yeah, and Denny, you know, he just finished a couple of books, and he was doing some signing stuff at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, and I had the opportunity to talk to him, and I invited him to come teach at the bear clinic. So these are the guys that I look for, that I have the fortunate opportunities to meet and help try to bring into the class. And the nice part is, you know, Denny's coming up to do it on his own. This isn't something he's getting paid to do, you know, to come in and, mm-hmm. and try to teach. It's their passion. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's, you know, again, you know, you guys have been fortunate. We've been fortunate to meet you and meet a lot of the same people that you know, and share all of that information here on the show. And if, you know what, if you're listening to the show and there's a something that you'd like to have covered an area, please, by all means, shoot me an email. Very simple, outdoormailbag@gmail.com. You can call my cell number. It's on there. I'm not one of those guys that's very hard to get a hold of. I'm easy to find, easy to get a hold of, and easy to talk to. So we'd be happy to take your information and help grow this show better and better each and every year. I mean, we have to do something different and better all the time. We may have the same guests on occasion, but you know what? They're teaching something different. So Ed Shaw, we appreciate you joining us here, and congratulations once again on your little one. Enjoy the time, and we'll look
Thank
forward
you.
To those new classes come August when you're back in town.
Waterfowl and pheasant.
All right, man. Check that out. Link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Ed Shaw, thanks so much. Thanks so much to Lance Valentine, teaching fishing. Got a whole another hour coming your way if you're joining us. Pick us up on the podcast if you missed any of it here on Wild Michigan, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Also, Conquest Sense and United Deer Farmers of Michigan.